that they tried to get rid of.
Trevor Ngwane, let's begin with, let's end with you. As I watched Cyril Ramaphosa speaking live yesterday, he was actually joking around, cracking jokes, though he went on to say this is a sign of a democracy and we will move forward. Who are the leaders you are looking to right now in forming that coalition government with the ANC?
Well, basically what Louis was saying, you know, our left here was decimated, and certainly forming an alliance with the right-leaning Democratic Alliance is not on. So I think that it is time now for the trade union movement, for the social movements in South Africa to get their act together, to form probably a workers' party, and to make sure that the next coming election, which is in 2 years, local government elections are important here, at least we have something cobbled together which can actually claim some of the formal political space. I'm telling you, even the number of people who voted, Amy, it went down. People didn't feel like there was any party worthy of their vote, of their trust. The ANC undermined all trust in politics, in politicians. Indeed, when Louis talks about
Trevor, we're going to have to leave it there, but we're going to continue the conversation and post it online at democracynow.org. Trevor Ngwane, Soweto-based activist, head of United Front, and longtime journalist Louis Friedberg. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
This is Norman Sylvester, the Boogie Cat. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, community radio.
KBOO's board is recruiting directors. In preparation for our annual board election in September, KBOO's nominating committee will be holding virtual information sessions from now through June. KBOO's board of directors guides the station's strategic plan and represents the interests and visions of all our members. BIPOC persons are especially encouraged to apply. More information and meeting times can be found at kboo.fm/board recruiting. Thank you for considering board work at KBOO.
Your investment in community radio can go on with a planned gift to KBOO. Consider adding KBOO to your will or add KBOO as a beneficiary to your insurance and bank accounts. You can change your mind anytime if your circumstances change. But recognizing KBOO along with your family and friends in your legacy giving is a powerful commitment to media justice. Let us know if you add KBOO to your plans. We'd like to thank you for your considerate future gift. Contact us at 503-231-8032 or email development@kboo.fm to notify us of your plans.
Hi, I'm Cory Doctorow, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
Good morning, and you are listening to KBOO. More talk radio here on your community radio station. KBOO airs on 90.7 FM Portland, 91.9 FM Hood River, and 104.3 FM Corvallis, and online at kboo.fm and via the KBOO app for iPhone and Androids. I'm Cecil Prescott, and today is Monday, the 3rd of June, 2024. Happy Pride Month. Happy June. This is June, and you can just feel the warm sun and the beautiful air, and, well, I suppose that depends on where you live. But in any case, it is June, and it is the start of a new month, and I'm glad that you are here. Let me give you our phone numbers, 503-231-8187. I would welcome your calls later on in the program as I seek your thoughts and your viewpoints on the issues of today. The question for today is, how many felony convictions do you have? The former president of the United States a few days ago was convicted by a jury in this in New York of 34 felony convictions related to the so-called hush money payoff. I want to talk a little bit about that by beginning by focusing on an article that I came across. It was a BBC article, and I want to have a discussion about where we are as a society, where truth is either ignored, denied, or a lie is offered as the truth. And this reigns over numerous topics, from climate change to election results. Where are we, and where can we develop? What is our future? I was speaking to our engineer this morning, and both of us share a sense of despair. And I think Cady Kay, who wrote this article for the BBC, expresses some of, if not my thoughts, some of the questions I think we should consider. And she wrote this 3 days ago, after the conviction. Cady Kay writes, "There's a new front in Donald Trump's battle to get elected. Just minutes after he was found guilty on all 34 felony counts on Thursday, I heard from a person close to the former president who described this moment as a civil war within the Republican Party. The historic nature of Trump's criminal conviction is being leveraged by his campaign as a sort of roll call vote to see which politicians would defend the former president and which of them would defend America's legal system. It appears you can't do both. Last night, a weather balloon was sent up. Larry Hogan, a moderate Republican, who is running for an open seat in liberal-leaning Maryland, took to his social media to urge all Americans to respect the verdict and the legal process. Within minutes, Chris LaCivita, a top official on Trump's campaign, posted a crystal-clear message to Mr. Hogan. You just ended your campaign. The implication, if you're not with us on this, is you're politically dead." Cady Kay continues. She writes, "I asked a different Republican official who had worked on Trump's last presidential campaign whether he agreed that this moment was a civil war for his party. He dismissed the idea. To him, it seems any war that once existed within his party was won long ago by Donald Trump. Even if you don't like Trump, he's better than what we've got in Joe Biden," he said. "It's an easy choice. And for now, it seems that the vast majority of Republicans' politicians agree with him, at least in public." She continues, She writes that Speaker of the House of Representatives Mike Johnson said that Thursday was a political, shameful day in American history, and that Trump's conviction was a purely political exercise, not a legal one. Steve Scalise, another top Republican in Congress, said that American legal system was operating like a banana republic. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis compared the process to a kangaroo court. And the fiercest defense of the former president may have come from Florida Senator Marco Rubio, who back in 2016, when they were rivals for Republicans, nomination was one of Trump's most vocal critics. Rubio says this is a quintessential soul show trial. This is what you see in communist country. This is what I grew up having people in the Cuban exile community tell me about. It happened in the days after the Castro Revolution. She writes, compare an American system of justice with its independent juries and open trials and rules of law to that of communist Cuba will stun many Americans. Mr. Rubio isn't just saying that these particular jurors made the wrong call in finding Trump guilty. He's going much further than that. He is making a full-blown denunciation of America's legal system at large. But there's a political strategy here. These type of defenses align with Trump's larger belief that many of his issues are not with individuals, whether they be voters or jurors. Instead, he feels that many of the bedrock structures of American government, like its electoral process and its judicial system, its media, its intelligence agency, are fundamentally and unfairly rigged against him. It's why at his rally, he called for the deep state to be dismantled to great cheers. And just a little bit more. She writes, in Trump's eye, a claim that America's legal system is functioning properly is a de facto critique of him, and to criticize him risks alienating both the former president and his sizable base of supporters within the party. It's a step that many Republican officials are wary of taking. It is too early to tell whether this moment could still bubble into a civil war among Republicans or whether Trump's year-long grip on his party will ultimately stifle any meaningful wave of dissent. What's apparent, though, is how ferocious the Trump camp has been in shoring up support. Throughout Donald Trump's political career, there's been a handful of scandalous moments where there was a real, very real risk that he could lose the support of his party. The Access Hollywood tape, his impeachment, his indictment, the FBI raid on his home, and the list goes on. For now, he seems to have avoided losing the most prominent politicians within his party. But the same may not be true for voters. Early this month, a poll found that one-fifth of Donald Trump's supporters said that they would either reconsider or withdraw their support for him if he was convicted of a felony. In an era when the political elections are ultimately decided by a few thousand voters in a few swing states, it remains to be seen whether this guilty verdict will ultimately move that dial. And so writes Caddy Kay, a U.S. special correspondent for the BBC, about Donald Trump's conviction, times 34. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. I'm Cecil Prescott. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Do you have thoughts or views about Mr. Trump's convictions? Give us a call and share some of your thoughts. And I want to continue by saying these words. Trump's assault on the American institutions, the judicial system, the press, the electoral process is on brand for Mr. Trump. PBS News Hour on Friday, Jonathan Capehart, someone who is a commentator for the PBS News Hour, said that Richard Nixon had something that Donald Trump does not have, and that is a sense of shame. Those of you might want to, who are of a certain age or any age, you might want to, I was going to say that's off the old encyclopedia, but I guess few people have encyclopedias around in their homes these days. So go to your closest mobile device and go to your favorite search machine and look up Senator Joseph McCarthy. In the 1954 Army McCarthy hearings, Joseph Welch, who was a lawyer, after Senator McCarthy continued to attack a civil servant, Joseph Welch almost stopped the hearing, and you can go and look at old black and white tapes of this. And he turned to the senator who, after continue haranguing the process and the civil servants, said to Senator McCarthy, "You've done enough. Have you no sense of decency, sir? At long last, have you left no sense of decency?" So my question for Mr. Trump is, have you no sense of decency? And more, I don't know if more importantly, but also to those who continue to support Mr. Trump, where is your honor? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Your thoughts, your views, let's hear what you have to say. Let's go to a caller. Santiago, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I wanted to start this off. A friend of mine on Facebook shared this, said a vote for Biden is a relative... For if a vote for Biden is a vote for relative domestic tranquility at the expense of Palestine, Congo, Sudan, and Haiti. A vote for Trump is a vote for isolationism and domestic chaos, rampant discrimination, and loss of civil rights, and the rise of Christian nationalism. This isn't democracy. This is extortion. You know, I think that when, you know, especially when liberals are talking about, you know, the conviction of Trump, you know, they're essentially like, oh, you know, look, everybody, everything's working like it's supposed to. Things aren't broken. Please don't get mad at, you know, at the fact that, you know, Biden is doing nothing for the people of Palestine. Look what we did here. Look, this is great. And it's like, you know, the fact of the matter is that Trump was only convicted because he paid off a porn star. Like, I want to see where he gets on trial for human rights abuses abroad. Because the fact of the matter is that every president past and present is a war criminal, and they're allowed to skirt on crimes that keep the oils of the capitalist machine running. Not to say that, you know, paying off a porn star or whatever you want to call it, you know, is not necessarily bad. But the thing is that, like, it's kind of overblown, because it's like, I mean, Nancy Pelosi was out there with a bunch of the conservatives gambling on COVID. You know, she sold off a bunch of stocks because she had foreknowledge of what was going on, you know, prior to the COVID thing, and she sold stocks. I mean, the fact of the matter is that all of the, you know, it's like somebody posted yesterday, like, you know, the fact that Popeyes and Burger King are in the middle of a chicken sandwich war, and they're both owned by the same mother company, parent company, is like the most apt you know, euphemism for American politics. Because that's we're assenting to the control of the rich.
So,
period. I mean,
right. So where do we go from here? Acknowledging that, and I appreciate your analysis, and especially just that last observation about the so-called war between these two fast food restaurants. What do you urge people to do or to say or to act or to feel in this moment?
Well, my answer is twofold. Number one, we as people who consider ourselves, you know, fighters for democracy, fighters for human rights, we all need to take a collective breath and realize that uncertainty does not have to lead to anxiety. Because that's what a lot of this voting around Biden is that we're in uncertain territory. But the fact of the matter is that the most democratic space that's been opened up is by black and brown, trans and queer folks who they themselves have constantly been in a state of uncertainty, even with the rights that we have always been uncertain, and yet we have thrived nonetheless.
Say that
really
one more. Say that again, because I think it's an important point in terms of collective breath and uncertainty.
What we need to do as people who consider ourselves leftists or people who, you know, want to do good in the world, we need to all take a collective breath. And we need to release it, and we need to recognize that uncertainty does not have to lead to anxiety. And that's what all of the push around voting for Biden is because white liberals in particular are finally in a space where their future is uncertain, yet in the decades of uncertainty, generations of uncertainty that have surrounded black and brown, queer and trans folks, we've not only managed to live, thrive, and survive, but we've also used it to make space for other people.
Sure. Wow.
We need to be okay with that. You know, we've roasted marshmallows on the fires that were set to burn us, right?
Yeah.
And that's a part of a struggle that a lot of white folks in general really don't have, because a lot of their cultural experiences have been kind of enmeshed into whiteness in the last 100 years. But the second point that I want to make is that
hold on, because that first point was so much. So I want us just to take that in, and now let's go to your second point. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, and then my second point is that we need to start organizing outside the system. We need to, I say, join a labor union. For anybody who's, you know, who can, you know, join a labor union, join a socialist party. There's Party for Liberation Socialism, La Raza Unida, all African People's Revolutionary Party. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a African Socialist People's Party. There is, you know, the IWW. There's so many extra, I guess you could call them like extra democratic, you know, things that we can join, because ultimately at the end of the day, it's only organizing outside of the system than placing pressure on the system is what has gotten us as far as we have. You know, I'll say this and then I'll end here. Especially around Biden, they want to call him the most pro-worker president since FDR. Well, the thing is that FDR was a child of riches. You know, he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. But what made his experience unique is that he was present in a time of mass mobilization for unionization.
Yes.
And not only mass mobilization for unionization, but the centering of socialist and communist politics. And you'll read in his writings that there was a threat of revolution, and because they had just seen what Lenin had done in the October Revolution in Russia, he knew that this was a very real possibility, and he wrote to his people essentially, if we don't give them something, we will lose everything. Yes. And And that's the fact of the matter, is that liberals, in the for the most part, are just spineless and milquetoast, and they want us to believe that we can vote in free, you know, rights and freedoms that were died and bled for.
Yeah.
But essentially we need to get back into the space that we are the ones who control our destiny. It's like, you know, I always tell people evolution is a part of revolution, meaning that evolution says that there are no dictates from above. It's all ground up. That's how we got it. That's how we got what we have, is grassroots, ground up revolution. You know, we made it happen.
It's very good, good points that you're making, Santiago. And as you were reminding us not to allow uncertainty lead to anxiety, and your observation of our relationship with the system and the needing to organize outside of the system, I think that's very important. It also reminds me of you know, oftentimes you hear in certain circles, like, we live in such uncertain times and we have never been so divided as a nation. And some of your comments led me to think, well, that depends on where you've been.
That depends on what experiences you've
had. So I appreciate your comments, and hopefully we all are able to move beyond uncertainty, because I think some uncomfort is good. We need to shake it up, but we can't remain
that's
there.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is. You know, it's hard to be uncomfortable, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, Trump was only able to exploit the cracks in the system because liberals became too comfortable with the system. You know, Trump didn't do anything new except for expose the weaknesses for what they were. And, you know, and the system isn't broken. It's functioning how it's supposed to. A lot of people just never notice, because the system has always worked for them. And now it's not. And they're afraid. So once again, everybody take a deep breath. And remember, uncertainty does not have to lead to anxiety. We will, if black and brown and queer and trans folks are any measure, you can get through this. You just have to let go of whatever power you think you have, and join the people that have the closest and most dearest relationship to you.
Hey,
not the people in power, but your neighbors.
Thank you so much. And continue to organize and continue to hold on to that which is true. Appreciate your comments this morning. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We're taking some collective breathing exercises and some reflection this morning as we talk about the only person who has been twice impeached, indicted 5 times, convicted 34 felonies, and is the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party, the former resident of New York. What are your thoughts? Let's go to our next caller. Frances, good morning. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good.
Great.
I've been ditto to a whole bunch of stuff that Santiago just said. I've been... it's funny how terms that were used to be considered right,
yes,
or center, are now used. I mean, a convicted felon, okay. I know a lot of convicted felons, and they're not bad people.
Mm-hmm.
So we're allowing ourselves to use terms that had used to be delegated to those of the oppressors.
Mm-hmm.
And I,
Good observation.
Of course, do not care for that man at all. And, you know, if he can run for president, then maybe Manu Katkia should, or Muni Abu Jamal, or anybody in prison. I mean,
you know,
we all should be so entitled and privileged.
Right. You know, your comments, and I didn't mean to cut you off. I wanted you to expand on what you're saying in terms of people who have been convicted, who've been felons. You know, if there is a silver lining, for me at least, it is for most people who have not been impacted directly by the criminal justice system to say, oh, what is happening here? And
exactly.
And perhaps begin a more expansive conversation. But continue.
Yes. And as Santiago said, you know, I like what he said about roasting marshmallows. I mean, people have been dealing with this for a long, 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 long time, the oppression. And I guess, as you said, it's a good thing that people are recognizing that, you know, somebody can go to prison for falsifying their tax records.
And let's just make it clear, because, you know, the people I know who have been felons or felons are not billionaires who do white crime. Okay.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We all, every single one of us is entitled to be so privileged.
Yes.
And I don't know that, and for us to consider ourselves special, then let's consider everybody special.
Right.
You know, right. I am.
You know,
And Biden's son is on trial to go and having a new trial today for
another
record of a permit for purchasing a gun.
Okay, another privileged white man, but okay, I'll leave that alone.
Right, and so. So they're going to use the system that they've been used, oppressing people forever on each other. Is that what's happening now? I mean, is that what they're trying to suggest?
Yeah.
And does that mean that it's been wrong all along?
One would, you know, if there's any silver lining, I would hope that would be the case, but no, I doubt. They will recognize
that. Well, we
can
talk about it, though.
Yes, we can. You know,
another marshmallow and things. Okay.
Right.
Have a good day.
Okay, you as well. Thank you so much, Francis. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. I'm Cecil Prescott, and I invite you to call and share your thoughts and your opinion on Mr. Trump and or the criminal justice system. When Frances and I were speaking, and she raised the point of felons and those who have been impacted by the criminal justice or criminal injustice system, and you know, people's interaction with the criminal justice system is different. So, Mr. Billionaire accused of a white collar crime, his experience is radically different than most people who are caught up in the criminal justice system. I'm reminded of, after I read about the conviction of Mr. Trump, I was reminded of a group of then young teenagers in 1989 who were caught up and arrested and wrongly convicted in what became known as the Central Park jogger case. A woman was brutally raped, captured while jogging in Central Park, captured lots of headlines, fueled racial tensions, and five black and Latino teenagers were arrested. went through a sham trial. Their convictions after many years were later overturned. They were released and they were exonerated after the person who committed the crime confessed. But in the interim, Donald Trump led a campaign against these five young teenagers, calling for the death penalty. Well, fast forward a few decades, one of those young teenagers, Yusef Salem, last year, was elected to the New York City Council. And if you're not aware of his journey or the other's journey, I encourage you to read Mrs. Salam's book about his experience, and also think about some observations about, isn't it ironic that a person who at one time thought he was the person in charge of New York, who called for the execution of innocent teenagers, is now a convicted felon. Yusef Salam is much more generous than a lot of people in terms of his responses to Mr. Trump's conviction. But as our earlier callers, Santiago and Francis, mentioned, perhaps this is an opportunity to actually examine our criminal justice system, see how it acts and how it doesn't act, how it enforces justice or how it encourages injustice, and how those with money and influence are able to work the system to their advantage, even when they are accused of criminal activity. Their experiences are much different than the vast experiences of poor and working people who are caught up in the injustice system in the United States. And perhaps if there is something that we can gain from this first trial, there's four or five other criminal trials that Mr. Trump will have to go through if he's not reelected in November. We'll see. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and I welcome you to call and share your thoughts about Mr. Trump and the trial and his conviction. Where do we go from here? I began this morning by reading an article about the Republican officials' responses to the conviction of Mr. Trump, and whether or not they, for me at least, a question is this the thing that will force Republican officials to distance themselves from Mr. Trump? In normal time, remember back when, say, 2015, go back 7, 8, 9 years ago when things were a lot different than they are now. Remember there was a time when politicians accused of indecent, improper action, not even thinking about illegal criminal activities, that would have been a reason for them to either drop out or to be asked by party officials to remove yourself from the ballot. Remember when House and Senate Republicans in 1974, after what was the final shoe drop around the Watergate scandal, went to the White House. People such as Senator Baker of Tennessee, Senator Scott of Pennsylvania, who at that time were leaders of the Republican parties in the Senate. And Barry Goldwater of Arizona went to the President of the United States, went to the White House and told the President of the United States, these are senior members of his own political parties, saying, you must go now. These Republican leaders were young adults 20 years later, or earlier, during the McCarthy Army hearings. And they might have remembered and heard the word that were impressed in their minds. Have you no shame? Have you no sense of decency? Well, the Republican Party of 1974 is apparently not the Republican Party of 2024, where you have people such as Senator Marco Rubio, who was at one time a severe critic of Mr. Trump. You have people such as the senator from Texas, who was one time a severe critic of Mr. Trump and an opponent who ran against Mr. Trump, as did Mr. Rubio, who were able to say, reveal what we all know about this gentleman in terms of his character, in terms of his business practices. And now, since he now has a political record, we can talk about his political record. But all these Republican officials somehow have lost their moral centering so that they are no longer able to affirm what in public, but they must know in private that not only, I'm not even talking about the policies of Mr. Trump. Remember at one time the Republican Party was the, used to like to claim that they were the party of family values? Where moral character was important. And all of that has taken a back seat to the quest for power, I think. So no personal indecency, no moral defect, no public act of questionable, not only moral but legal character, is criticized and acknowledged. Houston, we have a problem, and that is our integrity as a nation is going down. and what do we want to do about it? But lest we become overwhelmed by this thing that is observing our nation's character, this phenomenon of autocratic rule is not limited to the United States, in that we see it in many countries. Whether it is in India, so-called largest democracy, or whether it is in Hungary, or whether it is in a dozen other places, we have seen the rise in right-wing fascist autocratic power. And what do we need to do about it to change it? Well, what are some of your thoughts? I'm interested. What can we do to change it? Our number's here, 503-231-8187. If you have some thoughts or some suggestions about how we ought to alter or change our approach to the political process, let's hear what you have to say. As I mentioned, in 1974, the Republican leaders went to then President Richard Nixon and said, "You must leave." His vice president, who was caught up in criminal activity, he had to resign. He was later indicted. But there was a time when the Republican Party used to proclaim that they were the party of moral character. We don't have to go that far back, when there was an impeachment of Bill Clinton. And we can remember the outcry that people had over Mr. Clinton's behavior, which did not necessarily impact public policy. But nevertheless, it was enough to call for his impeachment and removal from office. That does not seem to be the case anymore for the Republican Party. And what we're seeing in the Republican Party today, and as I noted, in nations throughout the world where there is this rise in autocratic fascist leadership, are we at that place where we are unable to identify and say, you know, maybe power is not the thing we should seek? Where are the profiles and courage, I asked a few weeks ago, to stand up and say that things ought to change? Who will go to Trump Tower or his place in Florida and say to Donald Trump, "Have you no shame?" I think Santiago was correct when he spoke earlier, and he observed that uncertainty is not new to oppress people. Brown and black indigenous people on this continent, and indeed many, many places, have lived and experienced uncertainty. But as Santiago noted earlier, that does not mean uncertainty, does not need to lead to anxiety or inaction. It's an opportunity to recognize the world as it is and to say how to those around us, how do we confront these uncertain times? Must we organize creatively? Yes. Must we organize outside the system as Santiago suggested? I would say yes. Is this social political divide so great that we are unable to, air quote, save the system? And if that's the case, is that something good or wrong? I am not so sure. But those are some thoughts that we have today that I wish to share with you. Let's hear what our next caller has to say. Jason, good morning, and I am told that you have not called here before.
Not at all, no. In fact, I just, I'm not usually always up at this hour either.
Oh, okay. What did you have to say, Jason? Yes, you're on the air now.
Something's happening with the connection.
Okay, well, we'll...
There you go.
We'll try later. Okay.
Hold on. I might have it on speaker.
You have to...
Is that better?
Yeah, we can hear you well. Just turn down your radio and speak into your phone.
I missed it.
Okay. Let me suggest that when you do call, make sure you turn down your phone. Don't listen to your radio. Just listen to your phone, and you won't get the feedback and back and forth. So, call us, 503-231-8187. When our engineer answers the phone and he says, good morning, you can use that as a moment to turn down your radio so that when you're on the air, we are not confused and we can hear you clearly because what you have to say is very important. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Today is the third day of June 2024. It is the beginning of summer. There is the beginning of lots of things. It is, you know, I mentioned Pride, and there's programming here on KBOO, Pride Month. It is also the month, and all of you people who are Washington, D.C., people who want to stay alert of what's happening. In June, the Supreme Court comes to their session, the end, and towards the end of June, they'll come out with many more things, results. And so we should be very aware of the rulings that will come out of the Supreme Court later this month. So be aware and be prepared for those things. also be aware of, as we continue to move from September into the fall, there will be opportunity to think about elections, runoff, primaries, no longer primaries, but runoffs and the fall elections. So take a breath and get ready for elections in the fall. Let's go to our next caller. Good morning, John.
Hello. Despite what everybody has an opinion about this Trump and his trials, or this, or whatever you want to call it, verdict, this guy has to be stopped. This guy is more dangerous than, you know, three atomic bombs coming all at once. The only thing he has in mind, he wants to be God. And he's already been anointed God. He has his own Bible. He has his own $2 bill that's coming out. And he also has all the major Protestant and Catholic people on his side. I don't care. This guy is out here to kill. And I don't care if it's an illegal court or whatever. He has to be stopped. You know, if you're a little bit of, student of history, mm-hmm. people try to stop Adolf. They didn't stop him, and we had 80 million people killed because of that. This guy is in cahoots with the Saudis. He's in cahoots with Putin and Xi, and it's a hydra. These people are pouring millions and millions of dollars into our election. They have spies. I'm not talking about being conspiracy or paranoid schizophrenic. The only paranoid schizophrenic there is Donald Jesus Trump.
Well, you know, I want to ask you, because you made a very accurate observation that it's not just Trump, but you talk about this hydra, but I mentioned in terms of this worldwide phenomenon in terms of these autocratic leadership. How do we prevent Donald Trump? How do we stop him, or can he?
All you can do is try to get information out there to the people, mm-hmm. not the internet, whatever. You don't have to go around saying I'm from Joe Biden. You go right to the core of the matter that this person is off his rocker, and he's a madman.
When you say that to people who are really strong Trump supporters, how do they respond? Because, yeah.
Well, I don't know. How do you respond if it's who are completely, you know, 1950s sci-fi thriller, the attack of the pod people?
But, you know? If there were only like a few of them, that was, okay, I can deal with that. But this is at least half the population.
Yeah. Well,
so we have to deal with it somehow.
I don't know how you're going to deal with it, because, yeah. I'm just saying it bluntly, you know.
Right.
If people don't want to listen, they don't want to listen. Mm. I guess this is how empires evaporate.
Ah.
You know, they go high, and then they just flip out. I think Coppola, he has a film out. I'm doing an analogy of the United States to Rome.
Hmm.
And how the Republic was, you know, destroyed by a bunch of zealots and greed. You know, I mean, the old saying, greed has no heart.
Mm-hmm.
And we have reached our pinnacle of our power, or of our whatever, what do you want to call it, and now we're going down. I don't know, you can just blame it on the education system. I don't like to blame on just one particular thing, but it comes down to too much money and too few hands, and now the richies are making their move. And this is, I don't know really, I'm just saying what I, you know, what I'm observing.
Yes, yeah.
And I think we're just in a really bad position. I think the only people who are going to really help us out are the minorities and the women, you know, because they're the ones that they're declaring war on. When you're hearing about they're going to give women the death penalty, you know, and then outlawing contraception, I mean, come on. I mean, I see this is very, very obvious, but I'm just nobody, you know. I'm just making a comment on a radio station you know, far, far away, you know.
Well, continue to make comments to whoever, wherever you can, because as you stated earlier, your observation in terms of there were attempts to stop Adolf Hitler before he gained power, and the inability to do that resulted in millions of people dying, and we need to continue to speak up, as you suggest, and to let people know wherever that this is important. I appreciate you calling and sharing this morning, and continue the struggle.
Yes, I know. I'm just like, you know, I'm very glad that KBOO's there, because you try to call into other radio stations, they'll hang up on you.
Okay.
But anyway, good luck.
All right. Well,
good luck, America. Bye-bye.
All of us. Good luck, America. All right. Maybe that's a good tagline. Good luck, America. You know, hey, this world needs a lot of help. And, you know, where we're going to find the help, it's we are the answers. So as an earlier caller said, let's take a deep breath. Inhale, exhale. Don't be anxious, but organize. This has been More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott. Stay tuned for more programming here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
You are tuned into listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations of programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements